I can't go out. I'm sick.
Boo, you whore.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Outgoing Without Going Out. We are back with an advice episode. We haven't done this in a little while, so I'm excited to just kind of chat, give you guys some very unprofessional advice, and hopefully we can help you out in some situations.
We got a wide array of topics that people asked about, so we're going to be bouncing all over the place. There's relationship stuff, friendship stuff, job stuff, school stuff, a whole slew of things, so we're going to be talking about all of it today.
Well, before we get into that, what have you been up to?
Okay. Why don't you start? I feel like your week is updates a little shorter, so we'll start with you.
It's been a mentally tough week. We've been dealing with some family stuff that hasn't been great. So I feel like because of that, and of course it's like terrible timing. I was literally like, when we got news of what happened, was literally just about to start my period. So then I feel like everything in my brain was just everywhere, like very cluttered, just very over the top, overwhelming. So luckily I actually didn't have that slow of a week. I canceled two brand events, which is very unlike me, and they were two like really good brands, honestly. Like one was Rem Beauty and one was Way, and I really wanted to go to both of them, but then like just mentally it was not the week for that. They weren't like very strict brand events, so it wasn't like I was going to a dinner and I had a whole like reservation kind of booked. It was more so the Rem Beauty one was like a come and go one. And then the other one was a Barry's workout class. And I was going to go to it up until, it literally says you can cancel up until like 12 hours before. And obviously like it was a brand event, so it wasn't anything that I had to pay for. So I wouldn't have gotten a fee or anything, but like respectfully, I wanted to cancel within that timeline. So I ended up canceling that the night before because it was going to take me over an hour to get to the workout class, which is honestly kind of crazy. And I still have a non-working nose on my face, and Barry's is a lot of running, and I hate running because I get a throbbing headache and I can't breathe. So I was like, for the week that we're going on, I just don't need that. So canceled both of those, wanted to spend the week trying to get out of the little funk that I'm in. We had a self-care night the other night. I did a bubble bath. I did like face mask, skincare, all of that, cleaned the apartment. Kind of got like everything here in order. And then Justin is at NCAA Daytona College Nationals right now, helping like guest coaching a team kind of for the weekend. So he's been gone the last few days. He comes back tomorrow though. And then I have a, but before he left, I needed to like get out of the house, do something fun, get out of this little rut. So we went to Topgolf, which we haven't been in actually quite some time. And we had a blast. It is just, especially on Tuesdays, if you can go on Tuesday because it's half off, and if you can go during the day because it's like so much cheaper, it was like $20 to just go have so much fun for the hour.
Imagine being able to just go to Topgolf on a Tuesday afternoon.
I know. It was nice, but it was needed.
Must be nice.
But even if you go on a Tuesday night, it's still half off. It just goes up by like $10, I think. But we did that before he left to kind of like spend some time and just get out of the house, and then he gets back tomorrow. I have a local competition for my senior two team this weekend, which is odd because anytime it's like driving distance, it just does not feel like a competition weekend because I'm so used to like having to go out of town for them. So it's nice that it's just like a back and forth little drive. It's in Fort Lauderdale. And then Sunday when he gets back, it's our 3-year anniversary. So we have a full dinner at the SLS Hotel in Miami that it's like a comp to dinner for a full, it says like 11 course tasting meal, but we just like scheduled it around our anniversary, so we'll have like our anniversary dinner there, which should be fun. But other than that, I went to tour a house today, which is honestly never fun. It just never ends up well. It wasn't bad. The house itself had potential and it was nice, and there's a lot that I liked about it, and I truly feel like I'm not being that picky. But for some reason, I feel so guilty about, like, I don't, as if I'm, like, wasting people's time when it's, like, I have a right to be picky because this is a huge chunk of money. It's the biggest purchase I'm ever making in my entire life. I have the right to, like, take my time on it and want things a certain way. And I really don't, I'm not being that picky. And it's, like, every single house I tour, there's one, like, really big deal breaker. And for one, I mean, this one was in a nicer area. The house itself was nice. The drive was, like, decently long. I had to go on, like, 3 major highways just to get to the house. So, for me, it's not too bad because the drive to the gym is only on certain days. But for Justin, that would be every day that he's spending, like, 50 minutes without traffic to go to work, to and from. And then that'd be me getting out at, like, 10:30 some nights, having to drive almost an hour home. That would be kind of rough. But there was, like, absolutely no yard to this house. And the neighborhood itself wasn't that great looking. So, it's not, like, a hard no, but I don't think we're leaning towards yes. But I don't know. It's, like, every time I go to another house, I just get more, like, just get, like, more of a bad taste in my defeated. Mouth. Yeah, about house hunting. Like, more defeated, just more. I don't know. My realtor's never once complained or, like, made a comment about anything, but for some reason I feel so guilty when I think just because we're looking in a farther area, so it's like, okay, we're all making this drive to the house, and I feel like I almost, out of like people pleasing, want to put an offer in, but it's like, I don't need to do that.
No, first of all, you've never been a people pleaser, so I'm shocked you're saying
I know
that.
that's why I don't understand why with this process I feel guilty.
Second of all, the money that your realtor is going to make off of a house that you buy, trust me, don't feel bad, this is their job.
I know.
But, yeah, unfortunately, I just think the price point, the area, the drive, the house itself, the yard, you have a lot of things that need to be perfect for a house.
I don't need them to be perfect, though.
No.
It's like this backyard was legitimately 2 feet before the fence to the road.
No, I'm just saying, you have a lot of stipulations, like, that you want to abide by, and... Yeah. So you just, it's going to take a lot of time.
But I'm also not in a rush. If I was in a rush, I could be like, okay, we really need a house. Like, this one would have been doable. But it's like, why settle if I'm
really
not in a rush?
That's why I say you move to a different apartment to get a change of scenery, a change of area.
I know. But I feel like renting prices are insane. Like, that seems dumb to me. Because this rent is so cheap compared to everywhere
else. Well, then shut up and stay there. I don't know what to tell you. Like...
No, I'm just, like, I'm, like, kind of trying to, like, weigh the options. Like, I don't know what the right answer is.
Yeah, I don't know. You're in a pickle. That's all I can say.
But other than that, I was at Target, and I really just, like, needed a book. I was, like, let me just peruse the shelves. I was hoping something would stand out. I don't remember. I feel like, I thought we had it in text, but I don't think we do. Of what book you told me I should read next, or, like, one of those that you really liked.
Mm-hmm.
So I was, like, let me just see if something... sparks my fancy. The Housemaid's Secret was on sale, and they had it in person in Target, so I could grab it because I knew I wanted to, like, lay by the pool in the sun one of these days. And I was like, I just really want a book. Like, I want, especially, like, mentally wise, I didn't want to just scroll on my phone. I didn't want to just listen to something. Like, I wanted to just lay by the pool and read and, like, disassociate from the world. So I got The Housemaid's Secret. I feel like I've heard very mixed reviews about it. I'm only on, like, chapter 10. I, like, just started, but I can keep you updated on how I feel about it. You read it, right? So did Mom?
Yeah, Sean hasn't, though. He read the first one, but he hasn't read the second one.
Okay, well, I can give this one over to him when I'm done with it. But, yeah, I don't know. I can't really give you much of anything yet because it's so early on.
Okay. Well, on to my week. I've basically just been tired 24/7, and as I'm sitting here now, I'm still yawning. I've not been sleeping that well. Like Gabby said, it's been a mentally tough week, but yeah, I'm just, like, so tired. Like, even right now, I literally feel like I could go to bed, and it's 4:41 p.m., still bright out on a Friday, and I have a very long to-do list, so that's not going to happen. But just, like, trying to keep up with my priorities, like, working out and spending quality time with Sean and the pets, and basically my number one priority has been, like, calling loved ones more on a regular basis. I feel like... we talk to each other via text, like, all day, every day, sporadically, but just calling people, whether it be friends, family. Like, I felt like I've spent a lot of time on the phone the last couple weeks, like, just talking to my friends from college and family members and things like that, and it always feels good after that to just, like, catch up. But,
well, I think this is, like, not the norm, but I am so glad that, so obviously our parents are divorced, so we have a separate text with Dad, a separate text with Mom, and in those messages, every single one of us texts good morning and good night every single night, no matter what, every single day. And then our grandpa also texts us good night every single day, which I think is huge. I know that is not the norm, and especially like lately with what we've been going through, obviously, like we've been having conversations about family and stuff, and Justin has been like so many times like, I'm honestly so jealous that you guys have set that as like a precedent and do that every single day and just talk every day no matter what. And so I'm very, very glad we do that.
Then,
and
he should start doing that as well.
Well, I know that he's like, that's what he was saying, is like he wants to and he wishes that would have been the norm in his family.
Yeah. So aside from like talking to loved ones, like we were just saying, I've been in a Reddit hole. I've been consuming a lot of Reddit.
So much social media drama.
Yeah, there's a lot. So I've been scrolling through Reddit. I think
that's honestly, that's why I wanted to get a book, because I was like, I will go down a rabbit hole for hours. I was like, I need to spend my time doing something else than just sitting on my phone.
For sure. Still watching Real Housewives of New York. I'm on season 5, I think. And they just like revamped the whole cast except 2 people. And I hate that. I liked the original people. I don't want randoms back. And I don't even think they stay either. That's the thing. Or 3 people, I guess, stayed. But so I don't know. That I don't love. But we need to talk The Valley and Vanderpump. Did we ever talk about that on the podcast?
At the last point we podcasted, you were 2 episodes behind. I didn't watch it this week yet because Justin's been out of town.
I watched Vanderpump, but I did not watch this week's Valley. Do you have thoughts?
My thoughts. Okay, so my thoughts on Vanderpump is I don't know who in charge really thought that anyone cared about a Tom Sandoval redemption arc. Because why is that literally what this entire season is about?
But also, and it's failing. I don't care about Ariana's life either. I don't. She's driving me crazy. She's being so annoying.
I'm kind of like the middleman on all of it. Like, honestly, my favorite part of the last episode was Schwartz and Katie talking. And they're hilarious.
Yes, they're funny. I like seeing Lala's pregnancy journey, because now that we know that she's pregnant, like, I'll be excited about that. I don't understand.
Sheena making everything about herself all the time is absolutely insane to me.
It is insane, but also, like, she has publicly said she's been wanting Dancing with the Stars for years. So when Ariana got that, she probably literally felt like she was kicked in the teeth.
Well, the fact that she was taking dance classes just in case is crazy.
I don't think it's that crazy. I feel like she probably would have been on it had this not happened. Like, I genuinely think she would have been picked had it not been for Scandoval. Seriously.
You think?
Yes, Gabby. Before this all happened, nobody liked Ariana. Like, she was okay,
I get that.
What she went through was horrible, well, and I don't like Tom. I don't like Tom. Don't get me wrong. Like, I do not like him. But I'm just, like, over the whole thing on both sides.
The other thing, Joe.
I feel bad for her.
But I do, too. She should have not been on the show.
No.
Like, this poor girl is probably dealing with so much backlash right now. She was not made for TV. Especially not Vanderpump Rules, at least.
No.
At this day and age.
And everyone hates her.
Like, that's what, yes. In the friend everyone group. Hates her. And even just, yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know who, why did they think that was a good idea? I love Anne. She cracks me up.
Oh my God. That whole thing is weird too. Like, what do you think was going to happen?
Right. Like, oh, yeah. That is so much is weird. I don't know. I guess the reunion has like a huge blow up between Lala and Ariana.
I can see it brewing now.
Yeah. But okay, so Nick Viall, obviously, like, I don't listen to his podcast, but now they're clipped a lot on TikTok and they keep coming up. Well, I sometimes listen to his podcast. I haven't lately. I feel like I've been really behind on podcasts. I just really haven't been, I don't know. I haven't been driving. I haven't been.
Did you see all the drama with the JoJo Siwa on Call Her Daddy podcast? I guess she defends Colleen Ballinger and, like, that's this whole thing.
Oh, well, she's been doing that forever.
I haven't listened to it, though, but people, like, are in uproar about this episode, so I'm going to have to listen to that at some point.
It might be painful to listen to.
You don't like JoJo?
I can't get behind this rebrand. Just, she's trying, like, just really, you know what put me over the edge?
I don't know anything about her now.
Was the interview question when someone said, who's your dream podcast guest? And she said, it was, oh, my God, like, I got such secondhand embarrassment cringe. She was like, let's spice things up. My ex, ooh. And, like, no one laughed with her. And it was just like, oh, it was embarrassing. And that just that put me over the edge.
Sorry, back to
so
Nick
now
Vial.
I, like, cringe at everything that I just can't do it. Okay, so he made a really good take on, like, why Lala and Sheena are probably, like, extra against Ariana right now is because for like La Lanchina, you can tell take the show very seriously. Like they make their living off the show. They basically try to like produce it behind the scenes. Like they'll say certain things in their not like interviews. What's that portion called? Why do I feel like it starts with a C? What's the word? Confessionals. And they'll like say things specifically knowing that like production wants them to say it so they can put a flashback in or they can like tie pieces together. Like they very clearly need the show and want the show to keep going. For years, Ariana had really no storyline. She was just kind of like a background character of the show. Like she was never the main character. And it's like Lala and Sheena were always trying to be the main character. And now Ariana still, by doing nothing, is just like the main character right now. See, but it's driving them insane.
But I don't think anybody else is liking it either. She's making herself look really bad the way she talks. So
see, everyone on the internet is very team Katie Ariana right now.
Still. That is wild to me. I am team Lala. Honestly, and James and Allie. Like, those are the people I like to watch.
And Allie, honestly, I think the most.
I really...
And Schwartz and Katie when they're together, because that was funny.
Yeah, no, Ariana, I think is being... And I do not like Tom. I could literally never see Tom Sandoval again and be happy about it. But I think Ariana's acting stupid on the camera.
I think she has a right to act this way. Because if it wasn't the show, like, she would just disassociate herself completely from Tom Sandoval and not care and not
be around. Besides the fact that she still lives with him.
Exactly. Like, that's the other thing. But I get her, I get, like, that he should be the one to move out. I get that. And no, he shouldn't just easily take over the house. But then it's like, you should have been with your lawyers, like, immediately
to get out. That
taken care of.
Right.
And there was no sense of urgency. There was no, I don't know. It's all weird.
Also, not to be that person, but like, if you really didn't want to be around him, quit the show.
That's, yeah.
You know, like.
But I feel like she honestly might be doing that. And I think she'd be fine. I don't, she, one, is doing so many things right now between Dancing with the Stars and Broadway and now Love Island. Like, I could see her just not coming back to the show.
Again, I love that she's living her best life after what happened to her, because what happened is horrible. However, we all need to remember that just because something happens to someone doesn't mean that they, like, I am fully on this train that, like, I'm over it. Like, she is not still, like, I don't know, had she taken the moral high ground and, like, been unbothered, I think it would have gone over a lot better than this, like, insane,
right. But she's grudge very clearly train bothered.
That yeah. She is and, like, just, like, screaming at someone. Like, you can be angry and be like, don't talk to me, but you look worse by acting like that. Like, it's making Tom look better by her looking like that.
I think it makes her look worse. I don't necessarily think anything could make Tom look better because he is just so far down. But the other thing is, Lala was just this exact same way with Randall, though. And that's what's odd. Schwartz was playing pickleball with him, and she literally was like, I am not talking to you. I'm not associating with you. How dare you?
But Randall, go play
with my ex-husband that I brought into the friend group. And
that's the thing. He wasn't part of the friend group, and also Randall didn't do anything to try and redeem himself with these people, whereas, like, they're too intertwined. I mean,
we don't know that because he wasn't on the show.
Have you seen the stuff about Randall?
With Schwartz. Yes, and Schwartz was still playing pickleball with him. That's what I'm saying.
Schwartz, like, is an idiot. Lala
acted.
Why are we surprised?
Lala, no, I'm just saying Lala acted this exact way with Randall. And now I feel like, I'm not saying what Ariana's, how she's handling it is correct. But I feel like Lala is going about her relationship with Ariana the wrong way. Instead of just being like, I get where you're coming from. I was the same way. However, when I released that, like.
I think she's trying to do that, though. I think Lala, at this point in the show that we're watching now, is trying to do that. She's being very, like, calm and understanding to Ariana. She's still going and having lunch with Joe and doing things like that. But as far as, like, how she's talking to her, see, I feel like she is. See, that's what
I'm saying is, like, Lala and Sheena doing that is very clearly, like, they know it's for the storyline of the show. Like, they aren't, I don't know, that's what's hard. That's what everyone keeps saying about, like, the fourth wall just needs to be broken, because it's not like we're just watching their life anymore. Like, they're very clearly doing things for the show.
Yes and no. I do think that Lala's on this, like, arch to healing in all forms of her life. So she's talking to people she normally wouldn't, a.k.a. Joe, a.k.a. Sandoval, a.k.a. Schwartz. She hated Schwartz for a very long time. So I feel like now that she's just trying to, like, let go of that negativity.
Yeah.
She's opening up to just everyone across the board.
I see all of that.
But they're all freaking crazy. It's a TV show. Like,
I know.
I don't know, man.
The other thing was there's a TikTok clip of Sheena's, I think it has to be like the most recent podcast episode, and she's talking about how she's enrolling her kid into preschool. But the way she says it is, and this summer, Summer and Ocean are going to the same preschool this summer, and people are just stitching it because she says the word summer so many times, and they're like, peanut butter is going to preschool with Jelly, this peanut butter, and it's just stupid. It's so stupid. But like, knowing your daughter's name is Summer, why would you not just say like, oh, Summer and Ocean are in the same preschool this year? Why did you have to say Summer? It was just the way she said it was funny.
Oh my. I haven't seen that, but I haven't really been on like TikTok really that much at all.
Okay, so. Well, this was not supposed to be a reality recap episode, and now.
Well, what are your really quick? What are your thoughts on the Valley?
I think it'll get better. I don't love it. Like, Justin, like, doesn't really care to watch it with me right now. He's like, honestly, you can probably watch this yourself. I just am not super into it. But
see, I kind of like it.
To me, I see the Valley becoming what Vanderpump Rules was, and I see like Lala and Sheena making their way to the Valley
once they have kids, and they
yeah and I think it'll be better. I think I just don't know enough about the other families or couples yet that I'm like invested. I think the Brittany Jax drama will be juicy.
The Kristen thing is odd to me just because this relationship is so polar opposite of every other relationship she's ever had.
I didn't realize how much older she is than everybody else.
She's the same age as
Jax, and that's it, almost.
A lot of that.
Tom Sandoval is almost that age.
Yeah, a lot of that original group is the same age.
But she was way older than Stassi, Katie, all of them to begin with.
Not way.
I mean, someone just saw like the ages of everyone. I want to say she was 29, and everyone else was like 23 when the show started. I mean, that's a pretty big age gap.
Let's see. The cast of Kristen. Okay, wait. Kristen Doty's age. So she's 41. Stassi's 35. Jax is 44. James Kennedy's 32. Honestly, thought James and Stassi were way farther apart than they are. Let's see. Who else? Katie is 37. Ariana's 38. Lala's 33. Tom is 41. So Tom Schwartz, Tom Sandoval, and Kristen are all the same age. Sheena's 38, so her and Ariana are the same age. Sheena's
older than I thought.
Katie's 37. So really, Stassi is like the one that shocked me. I thought she was closer in age.
She's a lot younger than all of them.
But anyways, okay. Sorry for that long rant about reality TV. Currently, the audiobook that I'm listening to is Everyone Here is Lying by Sherry Lapina, I think. She wrote The Couple Next Door. Just finished listening to The Safe Place, which is a book I have never seen anything on, but it was recommended on my Libby app for audiobooks based off what I was reading, and it was really good. I really liked it. And I'm currently...
Was The Last Mrs. Parrish what you told me to read?
Yes.
Okay. That's what I don't think I saw that at Target anyway.
I'm currently reading... So those were audiobooks. I'm reading The Teacher by Freida McFadden. It's her new thriller that just came out this year. I'm only like 30% of the way in. It hasn't really picked up yet, so I'm hoping it does soon. I read The Coworker, and that one was really good by Freida McFadden. So looking forward to the weekend, I have a hair appointment tomorrow morning, and it's
oh, you do?
Well, so what? It's a consult, but I messaged the girl and I was like, so I really don't have anything going on, and I saw that you have an opening after my consult. What are the odds, like, if we agree, we could just do my hair? She was like, come at 9 instead of 10:30. Send me pictures of your hair now and what you want. And she's like, her Instagram thing is like, I think like that healthy hairstylist or something. Like, she very much deals with like getting back to your natural hair, healthy hair.
Does she do blondes?
I think so.
Really?
She's in Naples. But the thing is she does part-time in Naples and part-time in Chicago. So she like, I think has a little bit more of like a limited schedule, but I mean, she had a lot of openings for me. If I could get in, you could get in, no problem. As far as, like, your schedule has more openings than mine. But I'll let you know. Not
to drive to Naples.
Well, yes, but I'll let you know if she does blondes and how it goes. So we'll see. I might do my hair tomorrow. I haven't told Sean that, so I might surprise him with new hair. And then Sunday morning, I have a massage. So all great thing. All right, what's your favorite this week? Geez, okay, wasn't so your favorite just Amazon houseware?
Oh my God, it might have been. Guys, I've been on an Amazon kick. But I made a, so my favorite is Amazon clothes. And I will, I'll put a link up to like my storefront when we post this. But I just want to do, so basically like I was doing a brand deal with Amazon where I did an Amazon Live and I was like promoting some of my favorite products. And I was like, well, I got a lot of vacations coming up. Like, let me do an Amazon clothing like order. This had to have been the most successful Amazon clothing order ever. It was clothing and accessories. I got a Free People dupe dress that I wore today to go house hunting. Go look at my story. It is so cute. I got this other romper that I wore the other day that I don't know if you saw, Lexi. It was when we were on FaceTime and I was hanging up the pictures.
Kind of.
So cute. See, yeah. And just everything I got. Like, oh my God, these one pants. Like, they could either be bathing suit cover-up pants or, like, outfit pants. The quality is so good. And they were Amazon. So I'll put a link on the, like, podcast story when this comes out. But genuinely, just Amazon clothes in general, I've had a lot of luck with.
Amazing. I love that for you. Mm-hmm. I feel like clothes I always want on Amazon are not on Prime.
See, all of these were. I made sure of that.
But don't you see that a lot?
For me, too. Yes. It'll be, like, shipping in a month. Like,
yeah. So
anywho. Or, like, not even free shipping either. Like, you gotta pay, like, $8 for shipping in a month.
Yeah, I'm not about that life. I pay for Prime. I want everything on it. Okay. My favorite of the week is vanilla sweet cream cold brew. We've discovered that I had a bit of an addiction. And guess what, Gabby? I made it at home, and it's just as good.
Yay. Finally.
So, yeah, literally. I made cold brew. And I made the vanilla sweet cream. It was pretty easy. And I just shrunk it down to like a smaller size. And I wouldn't say it's as good, but I will say it is good enough as a replacement.
I'm glad because the Starbucks every day was a lot.
Okay. To be fair, I was using gift cards, but I have run out of my gift cards. So
it would have turned into
Starbucks. It would have turned into money. Yes. All right. Well, we're definitely going to have to do a two-parter on the advice because we just can't shut up. But I guess that's why we have a podcast in general, because we just love to talk. So why don't we hop into the advice and we'll just mark where we end up and we'll do another part two next week.
All right. So first question. Hey, girls, I need big advice on staying calm and collected during my finals week. I'm always getting overwhelmed with all of the exams and tests that I have to take in such small time. And that kind of reflects on my grades from time to time. Any studying, anxiety, or general advice would help a girl out. Thank you so much already, and have a nice day whenever you're recording.
I feel like I can
so much.
I feel like I can kick us off on this one because I agree. I have think you're better. More anxiety and also more study tips. So, number one, I hope it's not too late for this, but start early. The longer time you leave yourself, the more smaller bursts of studying you can do and review that you can do so that when it comes time to the actual finals week, you're not staying up pulling all-nighters trying to cram because you've already reviewed this stuff in advance. That is my number one tip. Study as you go for longer periods of time. I'm the kind of person where I need my sleep. I cannot pull all-nighters and cram. I don't do good with short-term memory. I need to review the same things, rewrite them over and over and over and over again. So that leads us into my second tip, which is figure out the best way that you study. For me, it's making a larger study guide, like basically just copying my notes and shrinking it down until I know everything on it. So rewriting, retyping, flashcards if that's what you want to do, Quizlet, whatever works for you, figure that out and apply it to all of your classes. As far as just like having a bunch of tests and exams, start with the one you need to study for most and work your way down. Know what you need to get on your tests and prioritize studying what you need the better grade on. It's really a game. Testing is a literal game, as horrible as this sounds.
College in general, that was one of the first things. It was like my English 101 class when I went there. And literally like one of the first days, she was like, the biggest piece of advice I can give you and the biggest lesson you have to learn in college and in life is to just be good enough. That's all you have to be, is good enough. Like you can't, especially in college, you have so many things happening at the same time that if you strive for perfection on everything, you will run yourself into the ground. So like on the classes where you really don't need like 100% A, like know enough of the material where you're going to be able to pass with flying colors and you're good to go there, and like be okay with being good enough. Yes.
Other things, especially when you just don't have the physical time. So that would be my biggest tip. So that way your stress is kind of spread out over a longer period of time than just cramming it in one week and getting really worked up and forgetting things. And a clear head is going to memorize more than an anxiety filled brain. So that's my advice. As far as like short term tips,
chewing gum during tests has always helped me. It keeps my mind busy so that I'm not like fidgeting and getting stressed. It keeps like my brain busy enough. Something that keeps me calm while I actually study. Find something that you've seen enough that you don't need to pay attention to it, or even music that you don't need to actually physically pay attention, but it's enough background noise that you're not getting bored and stressed. So for me, it was always the Harry Potter movies. I could watch them a million times, never get bored of them. And also I've seen them enough where I don't need to pay attention, but it was enough of a distraction that I didn't feel like, oh my God, I can't wait to be done studying. Get me out of here. Last tip, study somewhere that you're comfortable. Mm-hmm. That is all.
I was never, good luck, ever a library studier.
I was sometimes because I found comfortable places in the library, yeah. But figure out what it is for you, whether that's group studying, individual studying. Just start as early as you possibly can.
I mean, you basically hit everything. I feel like, I don't know if this is normal, but for quite literally every test I ever had, we were allowed a cheat sheet, always.
No, it's not normal. Which I love. I've had that like twice in my entire life. Gabby used to always just get to basically take her notes to class.
I mean, yeah, I was the queen of cheat sheets. I would put everything on a cheat sheet. Honestly, I love, because like, let's be honest, in the real world, like you have Google, you have access to information. Like as long as you, it's not like I could make a cheat sheet and if I really didn't know how to work through a problem or I didn't know the information, you still couldn't pass. So I don't know. I loved that.
Go to school at FIU. That's my advice. Yeah.
It's cheaper than a lot of other colleges. You're in Miami, you have great weather,
and you can bring your notes to school. I got to use
a cheat sheet.
Okay, next one. My parents are worried because my boyfriend does not have a traditional job. What should I do? I'm gonna let Gabby take this one.
I feel like allowing them to understand what he does. I mean, it's hard because it took my parents, even, well, my dad mainly, a long time to even understand what my job is and to understand that I was still able to be successful without a traditional 9-to-5 job. My mom was just like more involved in the process, so she understood it. Same with Justin, obviously, because my mom is in cheerleading, like she knows that there is money to make in cheerleading. Justin is a tumbling instructor. I mean, there is so much money to make in cheerleading. Like the hourly, when you're something like this and you're doing privates, is like insane. The amount of money that you can make in an hour compared to what you would make at basically any other job working a full 9-to-5.
I really am curious, what does your boyfriend do? Like, is he on OnlyFans? Like, what non-traditional job are we talking here?
I thought you were looking at me, and I'm like, no. What do you mean? What does my boyfriend do?
The
person
that submitted the question.
Right. Non-traditional. I know. I'm trying to think of, I feel like for girls, it's like, okay, there's a million things.
Maybe that. Like, basically, my first thought is it a stable job, number one? Is it something that there, like, is stability in and security in? Two, is there room for growth? Three, is it something he enjoys? And if the answer is yes to those, I feel like that's
then I feel like case. It's just explaining it better. Yeah, right. I think it's just allowing your parents to see and explain. However, if the answer is no to pretty much any of those, I could see why they would be hesitant into accepting it, especially just the generational gap. Like nowadays it is very common to have a non-traditional job, where I feel like our parents' age, like, that, what do you mean non-traditional? Like, you worked a 9-to-5 when you were out of college and that was basically it, kind of thing. Like, you had a career, you had a job. So it's definitely like generational gap. It's going to be harder for them to accept it, but I think just
explaining,
having
it,
those conversations, yeah,
and nicely, really
just giving them the background. Like, I mean, one of the first times Justin met my grandma, she obviously doesn't understand what he does, and she was like, you don't make enough money to support this girl.
Also, that's so, like, backwards, because like, they don't have to make more money than you, but...
Well, two, right. One, I make enough money to support myself. Two, she has absolutely no... What she thought Justin was making compared to what he actually makes was, like, completely backwards. She genuinely just had no idea. But it's like, they just don't understand this world of a non-corporate job, honestly. So, yeah, I think just having that conversation, explaining it, and allowing him to have that conversation, too. So it doesn't just sound like you're, like, defending him or standing up for him, but like, he can talk through it and help them understand a little bit more.
The next one, my answer is short and sweet, but go ahead and take it away.
Do I get back with my ex? No, don't need to even read anymore. Anyway, we've broken up 3 times, but dated 1.5 years. He keeps saying he changed after never putting any effort for me and being blatantly rude. Now he's begging for me back. I don't know what the right move is.
No.
The right move is to not take him back. You know the answer. You said he didn't make any changes.
3 times.
This is not like we took a break. We're working on it. We're getting back. Love you, but no. This is third time's a charm. Don't do it again.
Yeah, you've already had your canon event. You've already taken it back. You've already learned your lesson. You had that second breakup. I had to go through that. And now I'm a big advocate of if they're an ex, it's probably for a reason. Now, are there scenarios very, very, very far and few between where it's like a right person, wrong time situation? Yes, I'm sure it works out.
But however, you're not the exception. Take those
with a grain of salt. You're the rule. Yes, you are not the exception.
Just watch the movie He's Not That Into You. You'll learn a lot. But yeah, I don't want to be harsh, but no, you do not take him back.
You need to learn harsh, like disrespectfully, no.
I had to be that person for Gabby. It was harsh, yes. But she learned the hard way. Okay. I got offered 2 teaching jobs and can't pick. Job number 1, private school, less money, further drive, more classes to teach. I'm the only one teaching 2 grades, so I don't have anyone to lesson plan with. Smaller class sizes, school has my same beliefs, no standardized testing, few behavioral issues, but I wouldn't get my full license because it's private. Job number 2, public school. I know people there. More money, 25K difference. I'd be planning with 2 to 3 other teachers, bigger class sizes, possibly behavioral issues, an instructional coach to help me, familiarity. I cannot choose. Please help. The way you're typing it makes me think you're leaning towards 2.
I mean, it's not like, to me, it doesn't seem like they're kind of even. It's like job 2 has a lot more pros and like maybe more smaller cons, where like job 1 to me has
the way she wrote it makes it seem like cons. More cons, right?
Yeah, I agree.
I would say literally make a pro and con list and talk to teachers at both places. See what they like, what they don't like. See what's more important to you. Boom, done. There's your decision. And that's coming from who is really bad at making decisions, aka me.
And my first, before reading like your reasonings behind, my first thought was going to be, even if it's less money, going with the one that may be like quote unquote easier, or specifically the less behavioral issues, because I know that's kind of what drove our mom away from teaching, is it got to the point where like she wasn't teaching anymore, like she was babysitting because of just how everything has been and just the way kids are nowadays and everything. But then after reading more and more of your reasonings, I feel like, yeah, 2, I don't know. To me, the way you wrote it, 2, yeah, personally. Like, if you really wanted us to pick an answer, I would say 2.
Just based on, like, what you just said.
What you gave.
Yeah. Yeah. All right.
Oh, I forgot. It's your turn. It says, sorry, but this is a long one. I have a male coworker that it's low-key starting to get to the point of harassment. He won't leave me alone at work and always makes the most inappropriate comments to me. For reference, he's old enough to be my dad. Okay, yep, you've already lost me there. I would run away. I'm not the only employee he makes these comments to, but literally no one ever talks about it. He's not flirting, it's just being disrespectful at that point. And I've told him it makes me uncomfortable. I swear sometimes men just can't take the hint, but that's no hint. I flat out told you. Should I go to a manager about it / make a report? It seems a little petty to me if I would, but the people I've talked to about it seem to agree with me. I don't want to make it a big deal and I'm not that sensitive, but I'm just there to work and make money. I don't need a hookup. Anyways, I'm not at all interested in this man that's old enough to be my dad and he won't leave me alone. Thoughts on how I should go about this? Oh, I think 100% you have a right to at least open a discussion to the manager or HR department or whatever the case is.
I'm like rereading this because she said she talked to him about it. But did you straight up say, like, please don't speak to me? Because I feel like... I mean,
she said that... Where is it? I've told him it makes me uncomfortable.
Okay, so at that point, you've done the first step. You've gone to the source. If that's not getting better, then your next rational step... Like, I don't think you're overreacting. Your next rational step would be to go to someone higher up.
See, if it were me, I would quite literally... That would be enough for me to quit that job. So... Okay. I think you going to talk to a manager is a fair... You're not overreacting.
This is... Well, I just hate men also, like that. I can't do also, it. Also, Gabby has never had a job that's like with this, with other people.
No, but like...
So take this with a grain of salt. So
that situation literally sounds like...
No. Okay.
My worst nightmare.
So back to some rational advice. Gabby's like, I'm scared. Bye. No, I quit.
I'm not telling you to quit the job. I'm just saying I potentially would. So by you going to the manager, that is like... a great first step, and you're not overreacting in that way. I was trying to justify you doing that. Like, you have every right to feel that way.
Yeah, I think you should go to a manager. I think, like, I don't know where you work, but I feel like any company at that point, like, that would be the next step as far as, like, the employee handbook or whatever. I don't, apparently this guy is not gonna do anything with you, just you talking to him, so I feel like that's your only option, especially if other coworkers have been like, no, I agree with you, because then you have the support from them,
right,
to do that. But I'm so sorry, that sounds horrible.
There's, I mean, or nothing next worse. Step, just tell him flat out, instead of, this makes me uncomfortable, just be like,
don't speak to me.
Respectfully, like, just, yeah, please don't interact with me, don't communicate with me. Like,
I have a feeling he this won't makes get me it.
I mean, unless you, like, not like threaten him, but warn him, like, I just want to let you know that this is, like, beyond uncomfortable, and I will have to go to the manager and figure something out if you don't just leave me alone.
Yeah.
Maybe give him that option so you don't have to go to the manager, and maybe it can get handled, but yeah. I think you're fine also going to report it.
There's nothing worse than, like, tension and, like, issues at work because you, like, have to go to work. Like, you...
Yeah. Right.
Granted, yes, you could get a new job, but, like... realistically, like, oh, that's so frustrating, because, like, with friends you can just stop talking to someone, but with work it's like you literally go to work every day. So, oh, that sucks. Yeah. Okay, I think we should end with this one. Depending on how long our answer is, maybe one more. But how to make friends in college. I'm a freshman and struggling. First of all, I feel like you are in the absolute best position to make friends right now. Freshman year of college is prime time friend making time, because everyone's struggling. Nobody knows anyone. I mean, obviously people know each other, but a lot of people are very open to making new friends at this point, your freshman year of college. So I say just go for it. Like, I used to just speak to random people sitting next to me in my classes. You could just knock on people's dorms. You went to a lot
of, like, your dorm events too. I feel like dorm events. You went to a lot of those.
I joined a bunch of random clubs and met people. I met people in my classes, like, all the time. I feel like you just gotta put yourself out there, and I know that that's difficult. I am an introvert, but my freshman year of college, really in college in general, I was living my best extroverted life. Now, currently good in this for moment, you.
That makes one of us.
Currently in this moment, that is not the case. But in college, I feel like it is, like, prime time. You can make friends very easily. Join clubs of things you like. Go to school events. Talk to people in classes. Like, there's so much culture in college that, like, fosters friendships that I feel like it's a lot easier than other places.
And I feel like take off the stress of trying to find, like, your forever best friend.
Right, just meet people.
Have acquaintances. Like, find your way. Mm-hmm. Allow yourself to take the time to find your friend group.
Definitely. I think
is important.
Especially because, like, Gabby had the opposite. She didn't make really a lot of friends in college, but you definitely still had acquaintances in, like, your classes.
Oh, and all my, yeah, I had all my, like, little, like, anytime we had a group project or group presentation, I had, like, this, especially because in engineering, like, I had the same people in all my classes.
I feel like a lot of majors are like that. So, yeah, find people, like, that you'll see more
maybe
often.
Maybe Roger still hits me up.
Oh, my God. Can you tell that story really quick, please?
I don't remember most of it. It was in one of my classes. This guy sat next to me. His name was Roger.
And you know how, like, when you text people in the iPhone, it comes up and says, like, maybe
so-and-so? Like,
if
you don't have their number yet, it comes up, like, maybe Roger. And I don't even remember what the scenario was, but he just texted me. I think, like, Sean had my phone. Yes. He was doing something.
I want to say we were in Italy.
And a message popped up. I think so, too. And, like, because I was taking summer classes at the time. And a message popped up from maybe Roger, and everyone just died laughing.
It was so,
like,
funny.
I knew that it was just kind of like an acquaintance in a classroom, so, like, I didn't save his number. Like, I wasn't having conversations with him. Like, it was just, like, school questions, but it was just hilarious. And, like, still, not to this day, but to quite a few days ago, like, maybe within the last few years, like, maybe Roger, I think he did have a crush on me. He still tried to hit me up every now and then. But I just did not, like, he would just randomly ask me questions about, I don't even know, not school related anymore. Oh, and he was, gosh, still always maybe Roger on my phone. Like, I never saved his number.
That's so funny. It gets me every single time. But yeah, what are your thoughts? You feel the same, like, just hang out, talk to people in your classes? Yeah.
Literally. Like, everyone, I mean, I guess depending on what school you go to, I guess you could technically go to a school where, like, it's a more local school where everyone... Which was the case with FIU. Like, it's a lot more
commuters
than it was
locals.
People from far. Yeah, I don't know why the, yeah. Well, because what's the opposite of commuter? Oh, well, yeah, you're right. Yeah. Well, then what would the other ones be? Just
dormers. I don't know. On campus,
yeah,
people.
Yeah. It was a lot more commuters. So I do feel like a lot of people knew each other. But when it comes to classes, I feel like anyone is willing to talk to anyone, especially like, listen, you got the answers to a homework question or you want to help each other out. Like, no one's going to deny that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's do one more. One more.
I'm engaged to a man 4 years older than me. I'm 21 and he's 25. We live together. I caught him texting other girls a couple weeks ago and I confronted him about it and he apologized and said it wouldn't happen again, but this is the third time I've caught him. He only listens to his family. Well, that's a huge red flag right there. He only listens to his family.
You're marrying him.
So I went to his sisters for some advice and they told me I was overreacting and that it wasn't a big deal. But I'm struggling on what I should do because I don't want to spend a lot on a wedding just for him to do it again and call it quits. But I also don't really trust him. I love him, I do, but as love enough, should I just be like, sorry, you gotta go? What would y'all do in that situation?
Okay, here's my first question. I know you can't answer me, so this is like kind of a moot point to ask questions. But number one, did he do this before you guys got engaged? Because I know you can, hindsight is 20/20, but like, I'm a firm believer in like, you gotta fix all of your issues before you get married. And at this point, it's still not too late. You're 100% right. Like, I do not think you should get married to this man until you have fully worked out your issues and you are fully trusting in each other. I think couples therapy is a great way to go because then you have someone who's unbiased. As much as you may love his family, they are biased. They are his family.
Oh, 100%. Clearly. They already told you you're overreacting.
You guys need to go to, I personally would recommend couples therapy to work on it and have someone who's completely unbiased, because I think it truly depends on what you're quote unquote catching him do. What is he texting about?
What's the context of these texting messages?
It seems like because he apologized that he knows he's doing something wrong, which makes me think it was nefarious and that's why you're saying you don't trust him. I don't think love is enough. I think you need to be on the same page to work through things before you get married, bring kids into the situation. Whatever your plans are moving forward, I think y'all got to figure this out beforehand.
Yeah, I think the way you're writing, if you were to go into this marriage in the like mental state that you are right now about this relationship, one, you are going to drive yourself insane. You are going to build so much resentment because you are going to feel so guilty of spending so much money on this wedding and like committing to this when you didn't like clear up the feelings that you're having, which are very valid, let me tell you. You have every right to feel the way you are, especially given that this isn't the first time. So he does have to change. He does have to prove himself to you. And if he said he was going to stop and he didn't, then I feel like that's kind of telling you what you need to know about how much is he taking this seriously to move on to marriage. Like, I don't know. I obviously, yes, what those messages were, who they were to, all of that is very important to know the severity of the situation. But I don't think the way you are right now, you cannot just go into this marriage feeling like this. You're not just going to forget about it. You're really not.
Mm-mm, I don't think so
either. We're wired to just have these gut feelings and want to do stuff with it and just dig ourselves into a deeper hole that you're not just going to be like, oh, I have a nice little full stack on my finger now. We're like legally together. Everything's going to be fine and all sunshine and rainbows. Like, it's not going to be like that. So one, I mean, the biggest red flag out of all of this is not the texting. It's the fact that he only listens to his family. And he's not listening to you and treating you fairly. And that is huge to me.
Again, I think number one, you need an unbiased opinion to chat through everything that's going on, both of you. I'm a huge fan of therapy in general, but especially couples therapy, I think is great, especially when there's things like this going on. So that's what I would say is my advice. Before you check yourself before you wreck yourself. Because I wouldn't move any further in this relationship. I'm not saying you just got to break up and be done with him, but I'm saying y'all need to work through your stuff. Yeah. Love is not enough.
Absolutely.
To continue in this moment.
I completely agree.
All right. Amazing.
I'm hoping everything works out for you though, because that is like, I'm sure that is probably the most stressful situation to be in, especially if like any wedding planning has started and just being in that scenario, I'm sure is probably so hard. So I'm sorry you're dealing with that. And I hope you can get it figured out, because obviously like the advice we're giving you is a lot easier said than done.
Oh yeah, for sure. I'm not saying it's an easy move, but I think it's in your best interest. Do the hard things now so that the rest of your life is easy. That's what I will say.
Yeah. Good job with that one.
Amazing. We're definitely doing a part two because we have 75% of the advice things still to talk about. But that's okay, because I love these episodes and you guys seem to really like them too. So I guess that's all we've got. I'm gonna figure out what the heck I'm gonna have for dinner, because I don't know. I was excited because I have a free Blaze pizza because Sean's at work. Their Blaze pizza is, there's only one and it's so far away. I couldn't believe it.
You didn't know that? You live at your house.
No, but I got the free Blaze pizza when I was in Gainesville. I've never been here. So I was like, let me look it up. I mean, it's 19 minutes away. For you, that's not far. But for me to just get it for a free pizza for myself for tonight, that seems like a lot of work, you know?
You're not wrong. Are you ever in that area? Could you, like, save the free pizza for, or is it, like, somewhere you're not around?
I mean, at some point, I'm sure I will be, but I don't know what else I would eat tonight, you know? I mean, I could make some chicken tendies. I could make some protein mac and cheese. I could make some pasta.
Yeah. The options are...
I need a lot of protein still today, it looks like, in my food, so I'm not going to get that from just making regular pasta, so I'm not sure, but we'll figure it out. Basically, I'm saying I'm probably going to have to go to Publix or Walmart, and I really don't want to.
But we shall see.
All right. Well, TTYL, have fun at practice XOX. Tonight.
Thank you.
I hope you guys enjoyed this episode, and we'll catch you next week on Outgoing.
Without going out.
Bye.